I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche! Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy are in studio tonight, as they are every Monday, for my favorite segment of the week. Just to watch you guys
say that
get
to
it.
All
you say
all
that to every
segments.
Segment. Come on!
Oh, come on.
My favorite segment where it feels like the guests might throttle each other. How about that? Does that
never
work?
Never throttle each
it
other.
Comes close. It
Chris
comes
and
close.
I are lovers, not fighters.
We're not lovers.
Well, okay, I am. He's a psycho, but you know, that's okay.
I am Neanderthal. Did I tell you about that? Yeah.
You are?
Yeah, 23andMe, 99th percentile.
Nice. Nice. Makes sense.
I'm serious, man.
What? Are you really?
On the Neanderthal markers, there are like 390 of them, and I've got something like 345.
Wow.
And this will come as a complete surprise to my Facebook followers. No, not at all.
But then they give you this thing. They say, but even, you know, Neanderthalism, and, you know, I always knew we were from Germany, and Roebling's of Germany, and that's where Neander the river and all this stuff. But they say, but Neanderthals are so far back, the most that anybody can be today is 4%. So I'm like 90.
So you fulfill your 4%.
I'm 90% Northwest European.
There you go. Sam Nunberg, why don't we start there?
Nunberg.
Nunberg.
That guy's a Neanderthal.
So this is a Republican campaign staffer for Trump who was fired by Trump. They're not close. He doesn't represent
He's Roger Stone's protege.
Yeah, he's Roger Stone's gopher.
And the reason that he says so he's Roger Stone's protege, and folks may have seen yesterday there was a story about a subpoena that came out that asked for records of communications with a bunch of people, including Donald Trump. This guy, Nunberg, went on television today, and it was kind of like, as one tweeter said, it was like the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, but on television and more incriminating. It was like he went from network to network, from show to show, and every successive show, he incriminated himself more and more and more, and basically said to Robert Mueller, I double dog dare you to
much
to find
ado about nothing.
Well, I don't know if it's much ado about nothing, but here is the reason we're talking about him is, notwithstanding David's description, which I think is colorful.
Completely accurate.
No, well, the guy sat down for a five-hour interview.
Wow.
With Mueller and his prosecutors, and voluntarily, with no compulsion, he was not subpoenaed. Okay, and this is only about 3 weeks ago, and whatever they got out of that interview then led to this
subpoena
that David's referring to. But now, what he is saying, so now they've issued a subpoena to him for the
grand
documents
yeah.
that back up what he told them in the interview freely and without any compulsion. And now he goes on to TV and he says, even though I'm an attorney in the state of New York, I'm licensed, I'm an officer of the court, I will defy the grand jury and its subpoena. Now, that's like cuckoo land. If you're in it,
Is he doing it? Why is it just for?
He says he's doing it to protect Roger Stone. Even though he said Roger Stone did nothing wrong, he said Roger Stone is like a father to me, and so I'm not going to do this. And then he said, well, he's doing it because it's going to take him too long. Although I think this was in hour five of his 10 hours of interview day.
Let me ask you that 5 hour interview, as you mentioned, Chris. What's the importance of that interview when it comes to the overall investigation?
We don't know.
Let's just review the chronology. Roger Stone has been close to Trump for 35, 40 years, number one. Number two, he's constantly told Trump that you ought to run for president, you ought to run for president. So this guy wafts over from the Stone organization, such as it is, to the Trump organization after the ride down the escalator, and he gets into the race in 15. By the fall of 15, just 3 months after he's on the campaign, he has social media posts that are really offensive. And Trump himself personally, probably because he comes from Stone, fired the guy. So he's kicked out in the fall of 2015.
There's bad
blood
there.
So he wasn't there for 16. He's never worked in the White House. He wasn't a part of the transition. So what this guy can know, Who knows? Right.
Well, the speculation is that he can document, or he is aware of the communications between Roger Stone and Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Yes. And a lot of the theory, well, it's not theory. We know there are direct messages. We've seen the direct messages between Assange and WikiLeaks and Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is a blowhard. Roger Stone will claim credit for everything and will call people nasty names. And so he's a very colorful figure, and Nunberg is his protege. Yeah. And he considers himself the best dresser on the planet.
One of the amazing sort of...
These people are all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
One of the amazing sequences this afternoon, they say, so what do you think of... who's our guy?
Sarah Sant...
The guy about the surveillance.
Carter Page.
What do you think of Carter Page? I don't know Carter Page. Okay, well, what do you think about Carter Page and the Russians? He colluded with Russia.
Yeah. And he said that today. And so MSNBC goes, I don't know
the guy.
Maybe
I've never
Trump
met
did something.
Him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he called the White House spokesman Sarah Sanders a fat pig, but said that's not important.
Well, I mean, why are we? Why? He's crazy. Why is this bubbling up? Is it just
Mueller?
Is it because the media is needs to have something on Russia daily?
I think Mueller. I think when you see something like this, and if there is the subpoena that was reported originally incorrectly, but then they got the story straight at NBC, the subpoena was a pretty standard kind of request for information, right? And which is you are compelled to answer. The subpoena deuces take a means to submit or be penalized. Right. Okay. And so he gets this thing and others get it. And that's the kind of foundational subpoena one would normally expect kind of at what, quote, the beginning of an investigation, because they want to get all the documents in, read them, and then start thinking about their questions for individuals.
Unless you want to get a guy to perjure himself, lie to the FBI, and then get caught in lying to the FBI and squeeze him like a grapefruit until he juices, which is, I suspect, the reason that they did precisely it this way.
Yeah.
But in any event, this is a sideshow. We don't know what it means. I heard some people were saying, oh my God, this is the end of the line for Trump. Stop. This is not the end of the line for Trump.
Funny. It's all funny.
He's not going anywhere.
There's
a lot of collusion. But
the collusion is entirely on Hillary's side. Hillary is the person.
Chris
Rolwig's
greatest hits.
Yeah,
thank
I mean Hillary.
Much.
We know that Hillary paid for collusion.
Oh,
with
for
Russians,
Christ's sake, Rich.
And
Chris.
I'm Chris.
Whatever your name is.
You're David or Dave. But we know that Hillary paid for collusion with Russians and benefited from it, and then stuck that, polluted the information stream of U.S. intelligence gathering with the product of that poison tree.
Hey, Justin, were you on the email that Chris sent us earlier today in which he claimed that the new New Yorker article by James Mayer really proves
wait,
that Christopher Steele is a bad guy?
No,
Jane Mayer is a long-form reporter.
It's a rehabilitation attempt for Chris Steele.
Okay, well, you're the one who claimed that that
angry.
Article proved that Hillary colluded.
No. The facts
Do I have to read your words back to you, sir?
The facts that are already established prove that she colluded through Steele, who she paid for. But the article says that Steele was incensed with Obama because in August of 2016, Brennan, the CIA director, actually was doing his job one day. That's new. That should be like, hold the presses. Let's get this on page one. Brennan actually turned in a day of work. But anyway, he goes to the president and says, hey, Your Honor, Mr. President, I got to tell you something. The Russians are all over this.
Let's take a break because I want to have enough time on the back end, because we'll pick up right there, because there has been a lot of accusations from both sides about who didn't do what, when, where, and how in 2016 when it comes to letting us all know about Russia trying to mess with our elections. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, we're doing Touché. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. We're breaking down this week's news.
I got to say, you know, David was saying, did you get the email earlier?
Yeah.
I missed a big email this year. Like, I didn't get the email that said, go to Canada Goose and spend $800 on it.
I didn't get that.
You got that email.
I did not.
You're walking around wearing Canada Goose everywhere you go. I didn't get that email. You're like, I see you in your pictures from Barbados wearing your Canada Goose out.
Made in the USA. Come on now.
Why is everybody in the world wearing this stuff?
I don't know. Why are you wasting precious time on
this? Because he doesn't want to talk about Russia and Trump.
Yeah, this is
Russia and Trump. They all wear Canada Goose over there.
Mitch McConnell. Let me ask this question because I saw the story that Democrats, I forgot who it was.
It was John McDonough, the White House Chief of Staff under Obama.
He came out and said,
Dennis McDonough.
Dennis McDonough.
Nice guy.
He said that Mitch McConnell was at the heart of the slow walk of information that Russia was involved in meddling.
And the watering down, yes.
So essentially, standing in the way because of political reasons, the Mitch McConnell chief of staff comes back and says, no, the Democrats did that. They're kind of going back and forth. But it seems that Mitch McConnell always finds himself in a way of really going out of the way to be partisan. Like, I mean, he was the guy behind the Justice Gorsuch and the what was the Merrick Garland? And I just, to me, it feels like the American.
You're just going to believe Dennis?
No, I'm not.
It's not just
you're
Dennis.
You're just believing Dennis,
Chris. This has been well established that Mitch McConnell is the one who slow walked this
Here
thing.
Here is what's well established. There was one guy elected president in 2012. His name was Barack Obama. And when you're the president, you're in charge of the executive branch. Okay. And
unless it's to appoint a Supreme Court justice.
National defense and national intelligence estimates and intelligence gathering is the province of the president, not the majority leader of the United States Senate. So Barack Obama could have done stuff.
He was trying to be bipartisan.
And he did in a bipartisan way, but it was what the accusation is that it was McConnell's office that watered it down.
What a surprise. Obama didn't do anything, and now they're blaming a Republican. A bit, you know, hold the presses. Jeez.
Oh,
Obama failed because, and this is what came out in Jane Meyer's article today. Everybody said, you know, Hillary's going to win anyway, so let's not get all exercised about this. And so, and apparently Steele in August of 2016, when Brennan took the report into the Oval Office, said, Mr. President, something really bad's going on here. You got to do something. And they just couldn't decide what to do.
No, not exactly.
There's merits to that.
But. Look, the reality is that this is a nice topic to talk about, so Chris doesn't have to defend the president declaring a trade war and deciding to confiscate guns without due process. Now, both of those things happened in a 48-hour period last week.
He rolled that due process back pretty quick, though.
Well, he rolled it back quick after having said in a public meeting, let's take the guns first and
Trump.
We do due process later.
I don't think he knew what he was doing.
Once again demonstrates that Donald Trump is an idiot.
Yeah.
The president of the United States is an idiot.
Don't vote for him.
Quote me on that.
David Lundy.
Yes. So
Trump's an idiot.
But the gun thing he can roll back because the NRA rolled him. He had a private meeting with NRA leaders, and then he suddenly was like, "Oh, I didn't really mean
this."
This
message was brought to you by
the trade war. The trade war.
Oh, the trade war
is something that Chris and I should agree on.
All right, do you agree? What's your take, Chris, on the trade war stuff? On the
my
tariffs?
Take is that this guy, you know, starts off blustery, gets people all in a tizzy, and then tries to get in there and make some kind of deal.
I think it's a blueprint for
he
him.
He has been speaking about, he's been complaining about trade because he, as a real estate developer, was sitting, you know, half a block away from a 90-story building that he paid for, and there is a hell of a lot of steel in that building. So for
his entire
career, he's been buying steel, and he's been complaining about steel for his whole career. So he thinks he knows steel. He might know steel. I don't know.
Donald Trump, winning a trade war is easy. Solving healthcare was going to be easy.
But if you follow what Chris is talking about, there is a pattern. He starts out all blustery. He gets everyone up in arms, and then he finds a compromise that is a win for Donald Trump.
Yeah, except he doesn't.
He doesn't do that. I don't know.
He tries to retrench himself, but then nothing actually happens. So if in this case nothing happens, I will consider that a huge win for the American people. Because even though I am the Democrat at this table and Chris is the Republican, I have always been a free trader. I am a strong advocate for free trade. I believe we are all better off under free trade.
Yeah.
And that used to be the Republican position.
Well, okay.
And
but you know
this
what?
This time, even Republicans couldn't stomach it.
All right, Chris,
I remain a free trader, but Trump is making the additional point that we, the United States of America, has done free trade poorly, and that most everybody has gotten a piece of us out of our predilection for free trade, that they are better at free trade than we are. And you know what? There are a lot of people out there in places like Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, places where David's candidate forgot to campaign, that say, you know what, President Trump, you're right. And I'm glad you're saying that, because we need to find some of those jobs and bring them back here.
And we'll see how they feel when inflation goes up because of the fact we've declared a trade war and everybody retaliates against
us. There's a very persuasive...
We have a trade surplus with Canada, and Canada's the one that's going to be most negatively affected by this thing. This is nuts.
This is actually...
Larry Kudlow, one of your heroes, says this is insane.
Okay. This is actually a very, very tiny impact.
All right. Well, that was...
But there's a big PR impact.
Always a pleasure to see you guys.
It's great to be here.
You Chris too, Chris. Roebling, Dave Lundy, toucheing it out tonight here on the Download. See you next Monday, guys.